Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. And I'm here with my good friend and regular on this program, Denny Wilson. He is filling in tonight for Tom Moore, who is at the Focal Point meeting, where a good gospel meeting and lectureship is taking place today in San Marcos. Is that right, Denny?
Yes, that's correct.
San Marcos. Okay, so we're glad to have Denny here with us. Denny is the gospel preacher for the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, and we're broadcasting here from Studio 4 at the Hillcrest Building in Stephenville, Texas. We're broadcasting on KATX 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5 FM. That would be in Hereford, Texas. KATX is out of Eastland. KQMK 1680 AM is out of Hydro, Oklahoma. And we are broadcasting over the internet on knowthetruthradio.org. There is a chat box on knowthetruthradio.org, and we invite you to tune in there and go to the chat box. We welcome anyone that wants to write a comment or ask a question. This is a live radio talk show. We have a call-in number. I'll give you that in just a moment. But knowthetruthradio.org has been with us for several years now, and we do encourage you to go there and get on that chat box there. Also, we are broadcasting on thegospelnetwork.org, another internet radio. We're just trying to get the word out as much as we can, and we welcome you however you want to tune in. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. We want to encourage you. There are many ways to enter into this discussion. You can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. If you put those questions in there, they will come directly to my email or to Tom's email. Either way, that's one way you can enter into the discussion. You can get on the chat box. We prefer you to pick up the telephone and dial this toll-free number, 1-855-Q as in question, A as in answer, and then spell out Bible. 1-855-Q-A-Bible. Get on the email, questions@harrisonmoore.org, or go to the chat room at knowthetruthradio.org. We have additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Dublin Church of Christ, or the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Park Heights Church of Christ, there where Tom Moore preaches in Hamilton, Texas, also the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And we want to thank all of our additional sponsors. This is, let me remind you, a live call-in talk show. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. That is our objective here on the harrisonmoore.org, is to find out what the Bible has to say about some very, very pertinent questions that affect each and every one of us as we go through our daily walk of life. And so tonight, we are going to address a topic here that has confused an awful lot of people in the religious world. We're going to look at the difference between a Christian and a believer, and the text of our lesson is going to be taken from Acts chapter 26, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this very, very thing. Now, just to give you an illustration about what we're dealing with here, a physician's assistant has become a very popular thing today. A physician's assistant is they've become very prominent in this country, and most doctors have one. And a physician's assistant, if you've been to the doctor, you have seen their assistant somewhere, and they can do almost everything that a doctor can do. They can give shots, they can prescribe medicine, they can do surgical procedures. But this physician's assistant is not a doctor. The physician's assistant is almost a doctor. The physician's assistant is a little less than a doctor. A physician's assistant is nearly a doctor. But the difference between a physician's assistant and a doctor is there are some things that that physician's assistant has not done in order to become a doctor. Now keep that in mind, because many people in the religious world believe that or think that a believer and a Christian is the very same thing. And contrary to denominational teaching, there is a great, great difference and distinction between a Christian and a believer. And we're going to look at this in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 19, because there we have a record of this very subject. You see, this is a record of a non-conversion. Denny?
I'm going to be reading the text for us tonight. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have your Bible, follow along as we look at what God's Word has to say about this example of non-conversion. Acts 26, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains.
What a tremendous account that we get from Paul the Apostle, who has been kept in prison. Now, he gets an audience to make his defense in front of this King Agrippa. And what we have here is going to pose a few questions. Is it possible, Denny, then, to be a believer in Christ and not be a Christian?
Well, it was in this case, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly appears. So,
yes.
So what in the world does it mean when he uses that phrase, almost you persuade me to be a Christian? What does it mean to be almost a Christian?
You know, he's got some characteristics here. That Paul even says, you know these things. You know what the prophet said. You understand these things. So he has some knowledge. Mm-hmm. He has some understanding. He's trying to come to terms with some of these things, but he's not willing to take it to the next level. He's not willing to go further with it.
Well, as a matter of fact, there in verse number 27, Paul says, King Agrippa, I know that you believe. I know that you believe. It wasn't something that he supposed. He knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that King Agrippa knew the scriptures and that he did believe. So, was he a believer?
Sure.
Absolutely. Was he a Christian?
No. He said, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian.
So we're going to see what the scriptures have to say tonight about the difference between a believer and a Christian. And I want us to examine those differences. And in order to do this, I want us to back up just a little bit to Luke chapter 24. Before Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven. And I want you to notice there what he had to say to his apostles just before his ascension into heaven. In verse number 44, he says, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So everything that Moses taught in the law, everything that the prophets taught in the law of Moses, and everything that was taught in the Psalms about Jesus the Christ had to be fulfilled.
That's
now,
right.
That is a statement that Jesus made, and all things were fulfilled that were written here. So when we get to verse 27 in the text that you read, when Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He's simply saying, do you believe in Jesus Christ as it was foretold by the prophets?
That's right. He was just asking him quite simply, you understand what I'm talking about from mm-hmm. Moses, what Moses said, that Christ would come and suffer and die and be raised, and the gospel would go forth to all men, Jew and Gentile alike. You know these things. So do you believe? And that's a great question.
Very good question. It is a very good question. And right there in the text that you read there just a moment ago in chapter 26 of the book of Acts in verses 22 and 23, this is what the prophets said. In verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first to rise from the dead, and that he should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Moses and the prophets said, Denny, Jesus Christ is coming, the crucifixion will take place, the resurrection will take place, and it all foretold of his glorious gospel of his salvation.
That's right. You know, in the passage that you referenced a moment ago from Luke 24, mm-hmm. Jesus said, as he told them how all this was fulfilled in him, he said that repentance would be preached beginning at Jerusalem and would go to all the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then in chapter 1 of Acts, he says that it's going to start here. It's going to go to Judea and Samaria and then to all the world.
Mm-hmm.
All men would be able to be saved through that gospel message preached, including the king here,
right?
If he would obey.
Right. And so Paul asked the question there in verse number 27, do you believe the prophets? That is to say, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe in his resurrection from the dead? And then Paul gives the answer for him. I know that you believe. I know that you believe this. It's unbelievable to read this, to see that a man would know all of this, and yet he's still not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's still not a Christian. Paul says, I know you believe. So then we ask the question again, was King Agrippa a believer?
Yes.
Okay. The Apostle Paul was absolutely convinced that the king was a believer, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He believed that. He knew it. Paul knew that he knew it. And from this record of this non-conversion, we're going to see the necessity of that faith or that belief expressing itself in action. In other words, he's going to have to render an obedience to God's will.
Yeah, that's right. You know, in our world today, especially in the religious climate mm-hmm. that we're in right now, there's a theory that basically says there's nothing we can do to be saved. We're saved by faith, or faith mm-hmm. alone, or it's just believing, and all you have to do is believe on the Lord, and at that moment that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that's it. You're done. Everything's finished. It's all accomplished. That faith alone is the answer, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
And the irony of this entire account, based upon what you just got through saying about what people believe today in the religious world, the irony of this account is that even Agrippa, who was a believer, he knew this theory was false, this theory of salvation was false, and Paul knew that these conclusions were false. He knew that Agrippa was a believer, but he was not a Christian.
Well, Agrippa even says, almost mm-hmm. you have persuaded me to be a Christian.
Basically,
I understand, yeah. I believe, but mm-hmm. I'm not ready to become a Christian.
Exactly. I believe it, but I'm not ready. So then Paul was trying to persuade him to be a Christian, just as Paul was a Christian.
Right.
And, of course, you didn't read this part, but why don't you summarize for us what Paul told him before you read the text of our lesson? There, in beginning in verse 12 and following, Paul, did he not relate the case of his own conversion?
He did. He talked about how he was on the road to Damascus, how he was going forth with some authority and commission from the chief priests. He's basically persecuting the church, delivering people over because they believed in Christ. And he heard this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Mm-hmm. And in this story, what happens is Paul is blinded, Saul of Tarsus at that moment. He's sent to a place where he's going to wait, and Ananias is going to come to him, and he's going to tell him what to do to be saved,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to challenge him on where he stands with God. And so he records for us, and it's not just here in Acts 26. It's also told in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. And if we read all of those passages, we can put this whole context together. But he talks about the conditions of his conversion, how he became a Christian. And he said that when he was told what he must do, Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, he was told what it meant to be a Christian. Ananias said to him in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Why tarriest thou?" Or, "What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? Get up." That's basically what he's saying. "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
You see, there was more to it than just believing. Paul believed in God.
Right.
He was mistaken about Christ. He was mistaken about the change in dispensations and the plan of salvation and it involving all men. He didn't understand those things yet. But he believed in God, but he didn't understand the things of Christ yet. Well, he's taught what to do. He's told what's going on. And Ananias says, "Now that you understand these things, be converted. It's
right.
Not good enough that you know it. Obey the gospel. Have your sins washed away. Be baptized into Christ." And so he did that very thing and was saved and became a great gospel preacher who helped change the world.
Now, this is the story that he related of his own conversion to Agrippa. And Festus, who was one of the governors there underneath this King Agrippa, one of the procurators of Judea, Festus accused him of being mad, of being crazy.
Right.
And he says, "I'm not crazy." In verse 25, he says very specifically, "I speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Mm-hmm. I speak forth the words of God. Because John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, thy word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's speaking forth the words of truth and soberness, and he told him just exactly how he was converted. Now, here's a question. When Paul related the case of his own conversion to the king in order to persuade him to be a Christian, did he not speak the truth about his conversion?
He said he did. Which would include Acts 22:16. "What are you waiting for?"
Right.
"Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins."
Right. So if he did that, then Paul informed the king that he was a penitent believer.
He had been.
That he was baptized into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had his sins washed away as he was commanded. And you mentioned it just a moment ago by Ananias, the gospel preacher. And you can read that entire account in Acts chapter 22, verses 3, all the way down through verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who are just getting in on the program, we want to kind of catch you up on what we're talking about tonight. We're discussing the difference between a Christian and a believer, and we do believe that this is a very, very important thing to bring up because of the belief that many people have in the religious world that to be a believer is to be saved. But we are looking at what the Word of God has to say. Remember our motto here on this program: you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, what does the Bible have to say about the difference between a believer and a Christian? Well, here, this example in Acts chapter 26, the example of the the conversion of King Agrippa is put there for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This is what we're told about the Old Testament. Well, it ties right into the New Testament. It was put there for our learning, so that we today, in 2014, we can pick up this book and we can see for ourselves that there is a vast, vast difference between a believer and a Christian. And so we are here on in Acts chapter 26. We're looking at the non-conversion, the account of a non-conversion with King Agrippa. Paul said, I know that you believe. Mm-hmm. First of all, he asked him, do you believe? And he answered the question for him. He, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, I know that you believe. He didn't suppose. He knows that he believes. And so he related his entire account of his conversion, Denny. And when he did that, if that man wanted to be a Christian like Paul, then he was going to have to do the very same thing that Paul did.
That's right. And, you know, he's laying out by example what it takes to become a Christian. Paul was a man who was trying to do what was right. He was wrong. He mm-hmm. admits he was doing it in all good conscience. He was trying to do what he thought was right. But when he was shown the right way, Paul didn't say, well, I'm already a believer, that's good enough.
Yeah.
He said, as he was challenged by Ananias to obey the gospel, to repent of his sins, to be baptized, washing away those sins, that's when he became a Christian. Mm-hmm. That's when the Lord added him to the church, Acts 2:47.
Right.
And so he relays these things to the king, and the king obviously understands there's something more than just belief.
Yeah.
And he says, that's why, I mean, almost right. You persuaded me.
Yeah. And if we back up over here to Acts chapter 26 and in the first three verses, we will find out just exactly what King Agrippa did know. Because it says there, then Agrippa said unto Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. He's allowed to stand in his own defense. And it says, then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know you to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee, hear me patiently. He wasn't just a knowledgeable individual in what he's talking about. He was an expert in what he's talking about, and he was a believer in the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Now, this is absolutely fascinating to me that somebody would get this far. But what we have here, when Paul related that conversion, Denny, there was evidently a stumbling block. Part of that conversion that Paul told him about was a stumbling block to the king, and we really do not know what it was.
That's right. You know, it could have been baptism. It could have been something else that was involved, you know, repenting of something that was in his life that mm-hmm. he needed to get rid of. Mm-hmm. It could have been something like the rich young ruler.
Sure.
You remember he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have eternal life?
Right.
And Jesus gave him some of the commands, and he said, these I've kept from my youth. What still do I lack?
Right.
And he says, well, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take that final step. And so we're told in that text, he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. Now, that was that man's hang up.
Right.
I don't know what Agrippa's problem is. I don't know what's holding him back. But for some reason, he's not willing to follow through on what Paul had told him was necessary to be a Christian.
Well, that's a very good point that you bring up with that rich young ruler. By the way, this is a live call-in talk show. We would encourage you to pick up the phone, make a comment, ask a question. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. right here on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This first broadcast of the month of May in 2004. I have Denny Wilson here with me. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Congregation. Denny is from the De Leon Congregation of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. And we welcome you to call in. We welcome you to get on that chat box at knowthetruthradio.org and type in your question, your comment. You can also get on the email at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and we will try to get to all of those. We do welcome your questions and your comments. We're talking about the conversion or the non-conversion of King Agrippa. What prompted this entire discussion tonight is knowing the difference between a Christian and a believer, because many, many, many people in the religious world do honestly, sincerely believe that a believer and a Christian are the same thing. But here the Bible tells us, and our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we want to see what the Bible has to say about the difference between a believer and a Christian. Now, Paul has already told King Agrippa, he says, you know the scriptures. I know that you believe. He's already identified him as an expert in the Jewish religion. He says, I know that you believe what Moses said. I know that you believe the prophets. And the Moses and the prophets told them that Jesus Christ would come, Jesus Christ would live, Jesus Christ would preach, he would die, he would be resurrected, and the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be propelled out into the world from that point. Right. And he says, I know that you believe. But now, as we have already mentioned, Denny, there is a stumbling block in the way of this king. And as you mentioned, it could have been a myriad of things. We do know that we don't know what the stumbling block was, but we do know this. We know that he was a believer, because in Acts chapter 26 and verse 27, Paul said, I know. And he says this through the Holy Spirit. I know that you believe. And we also know this one point, that King Agrippa was not baptized into Christ to wash away his sins like Saul. In verse number 29, Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So we know that he was not baptized into Christ to have his sins washed away like Saul was. And we do know that he would not follow Paul's example.
You know, that's something we see from the very beginning of time, and it's still going on today. Mm-hmm. People make all kinds of excuses to keep from doing what's right. You know, it's a very simple command in what we must do in order to be saved. It's not a difficult thing, but people come up with excuses. But, you know, you go back to the book of Jeremiah. And I often use Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and there you will find rest for your souls. That's a great statement. Mm-hmm. You follow God's path, you're going to find rest. But do you know what the people in Jeremiah's day said? I know you do. They said, we will not walk in it. And that's what King Agrippa's saying. I'm not going to do it.
He is rejecting what Paul is setting
That's
forth
right.
there. As we said, it could have been the command to be baptized for the remission of sins. This may have been the one thing that kept him from becoming a Christian.
Right.
Regrettably, this has been the one thing that has been the great stumbling point for thousands of people who are very, very religiously minded,
right,
who refuse to become Christians. You're right there in Jeremiah chapter 6. Read for us there in verse number 21 and tell us what that one says.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish.
The ones who refuse to obey, they're going to see this stumbling block as a thing that they cannot overcome.
Right. They
just can't get over that stumbling block. And I just keep going back to that rich young ruler. That is such a marvelous account. When he came to Jesus, in very much the same fashion as King Agrippa here, He is very knowledgeable in the law of Moses.
Oh, you'd say he was a good man?
Yes.
He's doing good things.
And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, keep the commandments. He says, which ones are you talking about? He says, do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. You shall not bear false witness. He says, all of these things have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? Well, there was one thing that was in his way of salvation.
That's right.
Jesus told him what that one thing was.
He knew what it was.
And he refused to get over that stumbling block.
Right. He was covetous of his own possessions.
That's exactly what the problem was. That was exactly. He said, you sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. I will give you treasures in heaven, far more than you ever had here on this earth.
That's right.
But you've got to give up what you covet the most. So, whether it's a prideful thing or whether it's adulterous situation that this guy is in, that Agrippa is in, that has got a stranglehold on him and it won't let him go, this is the stumbling block that Jeremiah is talking about back there. We make it as one of our own. It's not that God says, okay, I'm not going to let you. We imagine, we justify our position, and when we do that, we lay that stumbling block in front of ourselves, and we just flat cannot get over that.
That's right. You know, I was thinking about Matthew 7:21 and following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of people who claim they believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they're faithful to him. They claim they love him. But you know what? He goes on to say, it's he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And those people will say, beginning of verse 22 there, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name,
mm-hmm.
cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. They were doing some good things.
Oh, yeah.
They were doing good works. And in our world today, you know what? There's a lot of people that are doing some good things by worldly deeds, by
exactly.
worldly ways. They are there are corporations who donate time and money and energy and labor to help things like children's issues, medical issues, things. They're doing some good work, but that's not enough. Faith alone is not enough. Doing good works is not enough. You've got to finish the journey. You've got to be obedient. He says, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's those who obey the Lord.
Exactly.
We've got to follow him.
In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, Jesus asks a very penetrating question here. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world would you waste your time calling me your Lord, your master, you being the servant here, I being the master? Why do you call me that? I tell you what to do, and you don't do it.
That's right.
Why would you waste your time doing that?
But that's exactly what we're talking about here. Paul shows him what to do, and he won't do it. And you know what? We've studied with people that have done the same thing.
Absolutely.
We've shown them that they must repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord. They must have that saving faith. They must be baptized into Christ mm-hmm. for the remission of sins. And they won't do it.
Right.
They won't follow through. They take the same attitude as the rich young ruler and Agrippa or those people in Jeremiah's right. day.
Well, you know, I had a great friend who's been dead about 10 years now. His name is Gary Adams, a great, great gospel preacher. He's the main man that took me under his wing and made a preacher out of me. And I really, really loved Gary Adams, and I appreciated everything that he did. And he had more Bible studies than I'll probably have for however long I live for the rest of my life. But he told me about a guy that was of a denominational religion. And he showed him the truth, what God requires, the terms of entrance into the kingdom, what God requires for an individual to make the step from a believer to a Christian. And you know what he told him? He says, quote, I will die and go to hell before I'll be baptized. And yet he claimed to be a believer in Christ. He claimed to be a Christian. And what happened was the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ became his own stumbling block.
That blows my mind. How would anybody who claims to follow Christ, if he asked you to do something, you know, you want to go back to Naaman and think about that story. He's asked to go dip in the River Jordan. No. We have better rivers back home. Mm-hmm. And the young servant girl says, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it?
Right.
Or, you know what? He thought about it. He says, you're right. He went and dipped, and he was healed of his leprosy. And that's what this reminds me of. If you are asked to do something, like be baptized for the remission of sins, why is it that so many people throw up an obstacle to that? Just do it. It's not the greatest thing in the world. It's not the hardest thing. It's not the most. It takes just a few minutes.
Right.
It's not a difficult thing to do, but it's in obedience to God.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do it?
That one baffles me. That one absolutely.
I can't believe he would say he'd rather go to hell than be baptized.
He says, "I'll die and go to hell before I be baptized." Now, John chapter 14 and verse 15 said, Jesus said, "If you love me." Keep my commandments. Well, baptism is one of his commandments.
That's right. In Mark 16:15-16.
Exactly. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, if you are involved in adultery, you cannot go to heaven. If you love me, keep my commandments. Get out of it.
In fact, verse 11, that's what it says. Such were some of you.
Absolutely.
They changed.
So this obedience to the Lord's will has every single thing to do with our love for our Lord, our Master, and what he says goes. And there's no argument about it.
Listen, we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. And we're not going to have a contest who sinned the worst or whatever thing along those lines. But the fact is, all sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:1-2. And unless we repent and obey the gospel, we're going to carry that sin and be lost. So wouldn't we want to do the things that he asks? And he's not asking too much.
No. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3.
Exactly.
He says, therefore, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, friends, there's absolutely nothing grievous about obedience to the command to be baptized. Nothing grievous about that. And pride is the one thing that stands in the way of a lot of people. You're not going to make me be baptized. You're not going to convince me to be baptized. I'll die and go to hell before I'm baptized. Unbelievable. So how could any person, Denny, say that he really, really loved the Lord and that he truly, truly believes in him, but he refuses to obey the Lord's word? How could somebody say that?
I'd say they really don't believe and want to obey the Lord.
Right.
They may be claiming they have that faith, but it's not a saving faith that leads them to obedience.
Right. Well, you look there at Luke chapter 7 and verse 30, and Jesus reminds us of these very individuals who were claiming a lot of things about God. But what does it say there, Jenny?
It said that the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They rejected God's word and his will. He told them what to do, and they said no. Can you imagine if the governor of this state of Texas came here and said, David, I want you to do something for me. If it was in your power, wouldn't you do it?
Sure.
Listen, whether you agree with his politics or not, and the same thing true, if the president of the United States came to this town and said, here's some things that I would like to do to benefit Stephenville, don't you think that people would try to do it? They might not agree with him on everything, but if it's going to benefit them and make a difference in Stephenville, don't you think most people would try?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is the creator of the world. Here's the life giver. Listen, we should respect our government, but those are men.
Mm-hmm.
They pale in comparison to the Almighty God. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to believe in the Son of God. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to confess him as Lord. I want you to be baptized for the remission of sins. Wouldn't you think that anybody who really loved God and wanted to please him, don't you think they would obey? But they didn't. They rejected the counsel of God, being not baptized by him. They refused what he asked them to do. Well, that just amazes me.
They signed their own death warrant.
They did.
They signed their own death warrant. Now, as far as we know, this is the account of King Agrippa. And as far as we know, he went into eternity unprepared to meet the Lord. And just like that physician's assistant that we talked about at the first of the program, almost a doctor, but not a doctor. He was almost a Christian, but not a Christian. He said, almost, Paul, you persuade me to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so he was almost, but that almost is not it. It's just not it. And so we need to understand what we're talking about here. Now, what we've been talking about, for those of you who got cut off a little bit early, we want you to call in or get on the chat box and give us a comment. But we're talking tonight about the difference between a Christian and a believer. We are using the text of Acts chapter 26 because you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Men say that it's you can be a believer and be saved, and that there is no difference between a believer and a Christian, but that is not what the Bible is teaching us here, because Paul told us here, and he told King Agrippa, he asked him the question, do you believe the prophets? And the prophets were talking about Jesus the Christ coming, Jesus the Christ being crucified, his being resurrected, and the spreading of the gospel. He said, I know that you believe. He also called him an expert in the law of Moses, an expert in the things of all of the Jews. And this man knew, he believed that Jesus Christ, he said, do you believe in Moses and the prophets? He said, I know that you believe that Jesus Christ is who they said he was. I know that you believe that. So there is absolutely no question that he was a believer. But Agrippa himself said that he wasn't a Christian.
Almost.
Yeah, the irony of this whole thing was that he didn't believe what a lot of people today are trying to pull, saying that this theory of salvation, just believe only and you're going to say. Even Agrippa didn't believe that false theory.
He admitted that he wasn't a Christian.
Absolutely, he admitted it. And friends, if you are not a Christian, you can't go to heaven. Now, that's the point we're trying to make here now. Believers alone, without the obedience and obeying the will of God, cannot go to Christian. Now, we want you to get that in your mind, because the Bible tells us that, and we want you to know this from a Bible perspective, not because what Denny says or what I say or Tom or anybody else that's on this radio program. We want you to understand that if you do not become a Christian as the Lord's will indicates that we must be obedient to become a Christian, then you can't go to heaven, regardless of how sincere you are and regardless of how much you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because Agrippa proves this to us tonight.
You know, James 2:19, even the demons believe and tremble.
Sure.
But that didn't get them to heaven. And, you know, we understand this in every other avenue of life, David. Mm-hmm. If I can believe all day long that I can do a good job, I can believe that if I went to work and I was there, that I would make a difference in whatever company I work for. I could do a good job. I could be beneficial. I could make a difference in the lives of others. I could make money for the company. I could believe that all day long. But if I don't get out of bed and go to work, I haven't done anything.
Exactly.
You can believe it all day long. That doesn't mean that you're doing it. There's a difference.
Sure.
And so he's, you know, he's admitting that he's not willing to take that next step.
Right.
And so what we need to understand is Paul is trying to convince him of what it means to be a Christian. Paul says, Agrippa says, almost thou hast persuaded me. And that's what we want to do. We want to persuade the listeners here tonight, and we try to persuade people in our preaching throughout the week, our mm-hmm. articles, the things that we do. We're trying to help people understand that they need to become a Christian.
Right. Now, the number to call, we would love to have you call in. The number to call is toll-free, anywhere you want to call, even Manu all the way over there and on the other side of the world, who it's good morning for him. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'll pick up the tab. You just call us 1-855-QA-BIBLE. QA Bible. We've got about 15 minutes left in the program, and we're going to ask and answer a few more questions here. One of the questions that I want to throw at you here tonight, Denny, is this. Should we persuade God or should we persuade men? That's a pretty good question, I think.
Absolutely. You know, we have to persuade people
right.
to follow Christ, not try to get God to do things our way.
Right.
One of the greatest passages, I think, in the Bible, Romans 1:16. Mm-hmm. I love what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. If we are going to help people to know the truth, we have to convince them of what the gospel says. Not try to get the gospel to fit what they want to do, mm-hmm. but get them to change their lives to fit what the gospel says.
So then we must persuade men
correct.
Rather than to persuade God. We've got to persuade men and women to become Christians by the preaching of the gospel. And you mentioned just a moment ago, it is the power of God unto salvation, the power of persuasion through Paul, the gospel preacher. And it was not the power of the Holy Spirit directly from heaven.
No.
It was the power of the gospel.
Through the gospel preached.
Absolutely.
The word preached.
Absolutely. So in the religious world, there are those people that try to persuade God to accept people as his children, whether they've been born again by obeying the Lord's will or whether they have not. Mm-hmm. And that's what the religious world wants to do, is persuade God to accept these individuals any old way they are. But now, what does 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 say?
Peter said that men are born again by obedience of the truth.
Right.
In that fervent spirit. You know, he says, seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We're following that word of God which leads us to salvation when we obey it from that pure heart with unfeigned love, obeying the truth, and it makes us a part of the family.
So Peter, through the Holy Spirit, said that men are born again by obeying the truth.
Yes, the word.
Now these individuals to whom he's writing this, they are the same individuals who repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins in Acts chapter 2. Now, we know this because mm-hmm. the way that Peter starts his letter, he mentions the same people
yes.
that were mentioned there in Acts chapter 2
correct.
when all of those individuals heard that first
from
gospel sermon.
From
yes,
around the world.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, remember that the power affecting the heart of Agrippa came from Paul and his message and not from the direct operation of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And that's the way God still works today.
Mm-hmm.
It is that message preached, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 21 makes it very clear. The world thinks it's foolish, but it's through the foolishness of the message preached that saves those who believe.
Absolutely.
If you hear that word, you know, James says in James 1:21, you receive with meekness that implanted or engrafted word,
right.
which is able to save your souls. When that message is preached, when it is believed and obeyed, it will purify your souls in
right.
obedience of the truth. That's what Peter's saying.
And that's the way we're going to have to stand before God at
that's
the
right.
judgment day, a
that's
purified
right.
soul. We have no right, no way to pray our sins away without having them washed away in the watery grave of baptism through our obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. Now, TV preachers today, you'll find them pleading with God to save these people. Oh, God, save these people. To the people, God is waiting to save you. That's what they're preaching there. And there's nothing like that in the Bible.
No, God wants us to be saved.
Absolutely.
But we have to do it through his means.
Yeah.
His method.
We don't go around persuading God to change his will to accept me as I am. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Holy Spirit through Paul writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Well,
not God, but men.
I love what he says leading up to that verse. You know, beginning in verse 9, he says, our present aim is to be pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there's a reason. For we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad.
Right.
Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because there's a judgment day coming. Because if we have sin in our life and we haven't repented of it, we're going to face a very strict and harsh judgment. We persuade men to obey the gospel.
And we persuade them by the gospel.
The gospel
by the
preached.
Gospel word. The power of God unto salvation. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary to persuade God,
no.
Denny. He has already made provisions to the sacrifice of his son. And what we need to do is persuade men to accept and obey the will of our Lord, just like Paul attempted to persuade Agrippa. I don't need to persuade God to save anybody. I need to persuade everybody to obey the gospel message.
God has done everything he can to make it possible for us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 3 and verse 9.
Absolutely.
As we were talking about a little while ago from 1 Timothy 2, 4. He wants us to come to be all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be saved, but he's not going to just save us on our terms.
Right.
We have to follow his terms. He's the Almighty. We submit to him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that would I say?
Right.
Follow him.
And so Agrippa was absolutely not a Christian. He himself claimed that he was almost a Christian. Now, almost a Christian, Denny, that is not a Christian.
No, sir.
Paul was a believer and a Christian.
Correct.
Agrippa was a believer and he was not a Christian. And the Bible leaves absolutely no doubt about that. The king himself admitted he was not a Christian. He says, almost you persuade me.
Mm-hmm.
To be a Christian. Verse number 28, for everybody that wants to look. Now, we just have a few minutes left. If you want to give us a call, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Write us a comment or a question on the chat box. We're talking about the difference between a Christian and a believer, and we do believe that this is a very essential lesson for the religious world to get a hold of, because when we look here at what the world believes and what the Bible teaches about a believer and a Christian, we are seeing two different things here. And our motto here, Denny, has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
It's the only way it can be. You know, sadly in our world today, though, this issue and others like it have led to a lot of division in the church. Because people want to follow their own way. Well, not just in the church, but in the
mm-hmm.
entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to follow their own way. They want to do their own thing. They come up with all kinds of methods by which people are saved. You know, some will say it's only faith. Some will say you don't have to do anything.
Right.
God chooses.
Right.
You know, and there's all different things. Oh, well, you got to pray this prayer. Well, listen, why don't we just do what the Bible says?
Exactly.
Mark 16, 15, 16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. What else do you need to understand that phrase? He says you want to be saved? Believe and obey. Not just believe. Believe and be baptized, and you will be saved.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paul attempted to persuade the king to become a Christian just as he was a Christian. He said, mm-hmm. He said that everyone was such as I am except for these bonds. I want everybody to be a Christian just like me, except not in prison.
Right.
Now, what was Paul? He said, I want everybody to be just like me.
That's right.
What was it? He was unmistakably a Christian.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And as a Christian, he was absolutely determined to wear and to honor no other name but Christ. And now, listen to the warning. And can you pull that warning for us up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13? Now, there is a warning that is issued here by the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle, the very one that is trying to convert this man Agrippa, this King Agrippa. I want you to listen to the warning, because Paul was determined to wear. He was a Christian. He was determined to wear and to honor no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that warning say?
He says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Okay. So the fact of the matter is, Christ was the one that was crucified.
It's Christ crucified. It's into Christ you're baptized. You mentioned that Paul's wearing the name of Christ. We all do if we are baptized. Galatians 3:27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
So we are baptized into Christ, not one of the apostles. And Paul was a great man, but no one should wear his name. And Peter was a great man of God, and he was given the keys to the kingdom. But it would be wrong, Denny, for us to wear his name. And
that's
Christ
right.
was crucified for you, so you wear his name. You don't wear John's name. You don't wear Paul's name. You don't wear Luther's name. You don't wear Campbell's name. You don't wear anybody's name. You wear Christ's name, because that is the name Christian.
Well, you know, I can imitate Paul, as long as he imitates Christ,
mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, mm-hmm. but I'm not baptized into Christ. I don't wear Paul's, into Paul, excuse me. I'm not baptized into Paul. I'm not wearing Paul's name. He wasn't crucified for the church. It's Christ and him crucified. It's Christ who bore our sins on the tree.
Right.
It's Christ whose blood was shed.
So Christ is not divided.
No.
And the name of Christ is a non-divisive name.
No.
And the name Christian, it's non-divisive.
Correct.
It is God-given. It is a God-honored name. And Paul was a Christian and a Christian only, nothing more or nothing less. And that's exactly what he tried to persuade Agrippa to become.
That's right.
But he failed.
That's right. And, you know, it's not that Paul didn't preach the right message. He preached the truth.
Oh, yeah.
He showed him what to do. It's that this man chose not to obey.
Exactly. Exactly. So, how significant are the words of 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 16? It says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name, in the name of Christian. In the New Testament, every single one of those individuals that were converted in the New Testament, Denny, they were converted to the Lord, and every single one of them were called Christians. Acts mm-hmm. chapter 11 and verse 26.
And we still are today.
Every single one of them were called Christians and Christians only. Mm-hmm. Now, Denny, in just the few minutes that we got left, there are some sad statements in the Bible.
There are.
And this is one of the saddest statements in the Bible. When Agrippa told Paul, he says, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Now, Paul must have been extremely disappointed in this non-conversion.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he loved his soul. And just like the Lord, he didn't want anybody to be lost. And one of the saddest things that you out there as a listener will do is take these words of Agrippa to the grave with you. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. And just like Agrippa, there are a lot of believers out there today, Denny, but they're not Christians.
That's right.
They're almost, but there's a stumbling block there. That truth of God seems to be a stumbling block to a lot of people, whether it be baptism or whether it be adultery, whether it be whatever it happens to be. And we talked about that rich young ruler. And then we talk about the rich man of Luke chapter 16. He is in torment.
That's right.
And Agrippa wishes today, just like that man in Luke chapter 16 that is in torment, he wishes today that he had made a different choice.
That's right.
Denny, we're going to have to sign off here. Why don't you sign off for us? For everyone out there, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Read your Bibles. Be blessed by the knowledge that you will get there, and do not let the truth become a stumbling block to you. Denny, you've got the last word.
Well, David, I appreciate being here today. And folks, if you're listening out there, I want you to know God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. We love you, and we want you to become a Christian. We don't want you to say, almost thou hast persuaded me. If you need to become a Christian, we want you to do that today. If we can help you, call that same number, send us an email, send us a text.
Amen.
Come by and see us. But don't put this off, folks. It's a matter of eternal salvation. Let us help you out with that. We love you.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.